James chapter 5. I want to echo Clay's thoughts this morning and welcome our visitors. We do have quite a few visitors with us today. We have a visitor with us this week, and we're happy to have Heather staying with us. And she's just finished up a travel nursing appointment in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And her next one will be in Springfield, Missouri. I'm trying to convince her that that is commutable. She's not buying it. But I think I'm going to put in a call to the Barn Dominium and see if maybe there might be some space up there. And at least that would get her, 30 minutes closer or so. But no, it's good to have her with us. Good to see Nikki's family with them this week. And Vic, you look a little more happy today for some reason. I mean, it seems like you've got a special visitor with you today. So it's great to have y'all with us as well. What a joyous occasion it is, as Jay prepared our minds so well, to think about the participation and the sharing that we enjoy in the body and the blood of our Lord and the sacrifice that He made on our behalf, and how we all come together with God in communion in that observance. What a great time that has been. I remember when I was growing up, back when wrestling was real, that TV shows used to have theme songs that were very unique and very catchy. You could hear a theme song from a different room and you could know what show was about to come on. It seems like a lot of the songs that go along with shows these days are just more instrumental. They don't have the jingles along with them. And I can vividly remember when my brother and I were playing one time and we had these walkie-talkies and I was outside and our favorite show came on, and my brother took his walkie-talkie and put it up next to the TV, and I heard the song of our favorite show at that time, and I dropped my walkie-talkie and ran inside because I didn't want to miss my favorite show, because back then, if you wanted to see your favorite show, you had to be there in the room while it was playing, or you missed it. And so I remember that quite well. There was a theme song, it wasn't a show that I was all that familiar with, but the theme song is probably one of the most well-known theme songs of all shows during that time. It's the theme song for Cheers. You remember the theme song for Cheers? Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. The idea of taking your troubles and wouldn't it be nice to get a break from all that? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. And you want to be where people can see that the troubles are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. It's been a while since I've thought about the words to the theme song. So I'm just kind of going off of memory there. That theme song describes a place where people can come together where they understand each other, where they understand that they all have troubles, where they understand that life is hard, where they come together and enjoy the time that they spend together. They enjoy the fact that they can go to a place where people know their name, where people are glad to see them, where the time that they spend together helps them to work through the problems and challenges of their lives. And our text for today in James chapter 5 tells us that that's exactly what the church is supposed to be. In that particular show, people found release from their troubles, and they found understanding and acceptance in a bar. And James is telling us that that's the kind of environment, that's the kind of family dynamic that the Lord wants to see among His people. And we've seen throughout this letter that there are some problems that have crept in for this group of people who have left Jerusalem because they were persecuted. We looked at all of chapter 1 through the lens of persecution. And then when we got to chapter 2, we started to see problems arise among them. Favoritism, partiality, people who were showing favoritism over for the rich over the poor, people that were allowing these kinds of social and economic differences that existed during that time to dictate the way that they behaved among the people of God as they were assembled together. The person walking in fine clothes. Oh, you sit here in this highly respected place. And then the person with poor clothes comes in and, oh, you stand over there. Or you sit in this less desirable place. In chapter 3, James talks about misuse of the tongue and how they bless God with the same mouth that they curse men. And cursing even their own brethren. And James says it ought not be this way. Among God's people especially, it should not be this way. He describes at the end of chapter 3, bitter jealousy and selfish ambition and arrogance. And how all of that leads to disorder and every evil thing. He talks in chapter 4 about the quarrels and conflicts that are among them. And how they are trying to maintain this friendship with the world. And he says it can't be that way. Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. He speaks also in chapter 4 about speaking against one another, judging one another. He talks about how they're so wrapped up in the things of this world that they've got all these plans and they haven't even thought about what the Lord's will might be in those plans. Again, in the beginning part of chapter 5, we read last week about the rich man and the poor man and how the focus is in the wrong place. We've talked about being patient with one another and him describing the way a family should be, that they should not be complaining against one another, and that they should look to the examples of the prophets and the example of Job as to what that patience should look like. And that's what leads us into our text for today. As James describes a place where people can go, where everybody knows their name and they're glad that you're there, and it's a place where people understand that the troubles are all the same. Your troubles and my troubles, we're all troubled with different things, but they all stem from the same issues. And he describes this place. Doesn't it sound like an amazing place to be? In verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Doesn't that sound like an amazing place to be? A place where when someone is suffering, there are people there to suffer with you. A place who recognize, a place of people who recognize that your troubles and my troubles are so much the same, that we're all troubled in our lives, that we all have issues and challenges and sorrows and sufferings. And we're all trying our best to make it through each week, one day at a time. We're trying to live out the life that is described here in God's Word, and that's a challenge. It's a challenge for us to try to measure up to this. There was a comment in our young people's Bible class just this morning, one of our young people inviting someone to come and visit with us here in our services, and the response is, you know, the difficult thing about going to church is that you'd have to live the life that's talked about there, and I'm just not sure I can do that. I'm not sure I can measure up to that. Well, wouldn't it be great to have a place where people come together who all understand that person is actually right? That it's not possible for me of my own merits, of me of my own desires and my own ability to be able to measure up to the life that's described in this book, and to just know that every single day my need for Jesus and His sacrifice grows more and more. My need for God's Spirit living in me, changing me from the inside out, dealing with my sin, dealing with my heartache, dealing with my brokenness and my sorrow. Wouldn't it be amazing to have a place where people could all come together and recognize that in their brokenness, that they have a family of broken people just like them who are all striving to be more like Jesus every single day. And as we strive to do that, along the way there's going to be suffering. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be times of great joy, times where we burst out in songs of praise because of how cheerful we are. There are going to be people, though, who are going to get sick. And you see the kind of care for the sick that James is describing here. A situation where someone is sick and the elders of the church come and pray over this person in the name of the Lord. And he says in verse 15 that the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. This kind of goes back to what James had to say about praying to God and asking God for wisdom. He's going to give wisdom liberally and without reproach as long as the person asks in faith without any doubting. The one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And that man ought not to expect that he'll receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man. Same thing here. Prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. You don't hear of this kind of thing happening very much nowadays, do you? And that's not in any way, shape, or form an indictment on our elders or this church or anything along those lines. It's just not something that is done all that often. And part of the reason why it's not done, notice what it says about the one who is sick. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him. One of the reasons why that I'm not saying it's the only reason, but one of the reasons why that doesn't happen all that often is because we've kind of neglected to develop the kind of relationship among our family to where when we are sick, the first thing we think of is calling the elders and asking them to come and pray for us. Asking them to come be a part of our healing, whether that be physical, emotional, spiritual. I can remember a situation, I won't go into names or anything, but I remember a situation where someone was calling me and asking me to provide some help in this situation, this trouble that they were experiencing. And I remember my very first piece of advice was, when we get together tonight, it was a Wednesday when this person called, and I remember saying, when we get together tonight at Wednesday night at church, let's ask the elders to step aside into the room and let's explain to them what's going on. Let's tell them what the problem is, and let's see if they can have a solution. And I remember the shock that this person had when I suggested that. Why would you do that? Why would you want to tell them? Why would you want to go to them? It was such a foreign concept to go to the elders that it was a response of genuine shock. And my response was, I go to the elders about everything. If there's anything going on in my life that I'm troubled by, I want them to know it. I want their prayers. I want their advice. I want their help. I can't do it. And there's been several times where we've met in our normal monthly meetings where I've just had to explain, like, all the different areas in my life where I'm just experiencing trouble and I need their guidance. I need their wisdom. We need to build a culture like this here. And it starts with us entrusting the details of our lives to one another, but specifically to those who are charged with leading and guiding and shepherding our souls here. And they are more than willing and ready and want to take that phone call. And I can't think of a single one of our shepherds who, if asked to come and pray over me, would say, I'm sorry, I don't have time to do that right now. That's not the men who lead us. That's not how they are. And so we can have this culture here. We can build this place where everybody wants to go because everybody knows their name and understands that they have trouble and wants to be there as a family of support and help. That can happen. It starts with me. It starts with me in the way that I see myself as a part of this family. James describes a place where instead of arguing and complaining with one another and speaking evil against one another, a place where we bless God with one side of our mouth and curse men with the other, he describes a place where actually confession is made. And this isn't a statement where I'm talking about now the sins of others, judging the sins of others. I'm talking about me. I'm telling you where I'm weak, where I fall short, where I fell flat on my face, where I stepped in it really bad, and where I need forgiveness and healing and help and strength. I need that from you, and you need that from me too. We need that from each other. And again, talks about prayer and the prayer of faith and what it can accomplish. Wouldn't it be great to have a place where when people start to stray and wander from the truth, that we have the kind of mindset where we want to go as Jesus did, leaving the 99 to go and restore the one, to go in search of the one who's gone astray and to gently bring them back into our fold. In that story, the shepherd puts the sheep around on his own back and literally carries him back to the flock. And what an amazing picture that is of what Jesus has done for each of us who have been forgiven. Wouldn't it be great to have a place that lived out that picture among our own number here? The passage that David read to us just a few moments ago was from the church at Jerusalem, and they lived with each other. They ate with each other. They spent time breaking bread from house to house, and they were glad to see each other. They were a source of strength and encouragement from each other, a place of solace and refuge. Refuge for each other, and a place where they knew that they would find strength and encouragement, and a place where they could bring their troubles, and that the congregation would come together and pray about those things. That the passage he read for us said that they were devoted to prayer. And I imagine many of those prayers were for the troubles that they were experiencing as a family. And I think there's a reason why that particular theme song went along with a show that was set in a bar. Because when people are looking for that kind of relationship, that kind of family, that kind of understanding and acceptance and help, many people feel like that's what they can get in a bar. And maybe the reason, again, not an indictment on our congregation in particular, but maybe the reason why so many people think that they can find that there is because that's not the kind of environment that they have found in their local church. It's not the kind of environment that they found among God's people. It's not the kind of environment that James was seeing in his audience. They had a lot of troubles that they were having to work through. He was very pointed and direct in telling them the issues that they needed to work on, and then to end his letter to give them a picture of what God's family should be all about. In the ways that we reflect this picture, let's continue to do those things. It's kind of like Paul writing to the Thessalonians and saying, you're doing this, great, excel still more in doing these things. In the ways that we don't reflect this picture of what God's people should be as a local family, we need to repent and we need to change. And we need to start living our lives together as a family, as a community, where it looks like this. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity that we've had today to be able to conclude this great book by your servant James. We are thankful for the messages that we've been able to focus on throughout this letter. And specifically this morning, Father, we pray that as we've just spoken, that we would reflect this image of what a local family should be. And to do that each day and to grow in our love and devotion for one another, in our understanding of each other, in our concern for each other physically, spiritually, emotionally, and in the ways that we've not done a good job of modeling this in our own lives and in our own church family, Father, we pray that you would help us to take the steps that would be necessary to move in that direction. We recognize, Father, that we are all broken people who come from broken lives where we have sinned and messed up. We've done things that we should not have done, many of them horrible things. We have failed to act in areas where we know that you would want us to act, and we pray that you will forgive us of all these transgressions, that you will help us to see them, to recognize them, to appreciate the deep impact that they have on our lives and in our hearts, and that you'll help us to make the corrections that we need to make in order to be more and more in the image of your Son each day. We ask, Father, that if any here are outside of your family and have not yet been cleansed from their sins, that you would empower them and inspire them and encourage them to step out in faith and to make that decision for you today, to start living a life of faith in Jesus Christ. For those who maybe came here this morning out of their brokenness and in their weakness, we pray, Father, that you would strengthen them. Help us to be a source of strength and encouragement to them, and help us to talk to each other, help us to know each other, help us to rely on each other, to entrust our lives to each other, and to be the family you designed us to be, the one that you sent Jesus to die for. In his name we pray. We want to encourage you now with a song. If you need to make a decision for Jesus, if you need to step out in faith, as we've just prayed, to start trusting Him and following Him from now for the rest of your life, then certainly we want to encourage you to do that, to be cleansed from your sins, to be washed in His blood, and to be part of His family as a dear child. And perhaps there's something today that's going on in your life that you need to entrust those details to someone. It doesn't have to be everyone. It doesn't have to be anyone in particular, but someone. Someone who will listen. Someone who will show you that your troubles are not foreign. You're not the only one that is struggling. That we all have troubles and struggles, and we're just trying to make it through those things together. Entrust your life to someone today and see if that doesn't help you to be strengthened and encouraged. Let that be known as we stand and as we sing this song to encourage you.